You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now on to the surplus. This week, a big topic in the news has been government's $7.5 billion surplus. I will clarify that while that is the figure on the books, due to the reevaluation of key rail accounting for $2.6 billion and a change of accounting by Inland Revenue accounting for $1 billion, after that, the figure realistically looks more like $3.9 billion. The high surplus has resulted in a great deal of criticism for government's management of money. However, Infometrics economist Brad Olson joins us to tell us how he sees the surplus as an opportunity for government to prioritize their spending. He starts off by telling me what he thinks of the surplus, whether it's a matter of fiscal responsibility or playing politics.
A surplus gives the government options, and I think what it does provide for the current government is the ability to consider where it might want to spend more, and also, you know, what sort of plans it wants to do in the future. What a surplus really is that they have taken in more money over the last year than they've been able to spend out, and that's not necessarily because they've been holding spending back. It's actually because they don't have the projects ready to go at the moment, and so there's a bit of a hold-up in the pipeline to get government action underway.
Because this has been framed quite negatively, particularly from opposition. Do you think there is any validity in that criticism?
Well, look, I think when the government came in 2017, it was a brand new government and they had a fundamentally different idea of where they wanted the country to go and what they wanted government to do than the previous administration. Now, when you have such a fundamental change, it always takes a while to get action happening again. It takes a while to turn a big ship. So what we're seeing here is that the delays in spending are just because of that reprioritisation and what the government wants to fund. And so we are expecting more government spending to come through in 2020 and 2021. And that's just the nature of having a change of government. Now, is it politicking? Well, look, it's certainly convenient that there's going to be additional spending in 2020. But like I said, that's actually not by design. It's just by how long it takes to get those spending projects costed up, ready to go, and then actually into action. And the Provincial Growth Fund's a key element of that. Currently, the Provincial Growth Fund has a lot of money still sitting there in the Crown account, and it's just because it takes a while for local communities to get their projects underway.
It's more like there's $3.9 billion that government is able to spend from the surplus. Could you explain that a little bit more for us?
Yeah, so what happened with the headline number of the $7.5 billion, we had a $2.6 billion revision to how the government considers KiwiRail to be an asset to New Zealand. So in previous years, there'd been a write-down of $2.6 billion. Now that the government considers the rail system in a different light, that has meant that they have, in accountancy terms, had a $2.6 billion increase in the rail asset. So that's $2.6 billion that you should try and strip out of that budget surplus. Mm-hmm. There's also about $1 billion worth of funding that has come about because of the way IRD considers tax. So they've changed to an accrual system now. But essentially, you know, that is $3.6 billion of that surplus, nearly half of it, that has come about because of creative accounting, and that's why there's that $3.9 billion surplus that is a bit more of a real surplus. Now, what that means is that our net debt position has gone down to 19.2% of GDP, a really low figure, and a really low figure especially compared to the rest of the world. And that gives us a lot of options for funding more, whether that be services or whether that be infrastructure. It does give the government the ability to borrow. There are low interest rates. We know we're coming into softer economic times, so it does give the government more options.
Mm. And those softer economic times, what Grant Robertson has pointed to is concerns about the global economy. Do you think this puts New Zealand particularly in a good place?
Yes, I think New Zealand's in a very, very strong position. However, if we don't capitalise on that position, it's not going to count for anything. We know the global economy is slowing. We know the New Zealand economy is slowing in line with the globe. But if we don't prepare now for that slowdown, if we don't put the actions in place to ensure that our economic growth holds up, You know, we might be sitting with a really healthy balance sheet, a really great government surplus, but still very soft economic growth. And that's not really what the economy should be looking at. The Reserve Bank and many forecasters, and look, the general public now, are calling for the government to do more and to provide more stimulus to the economy. And I, like I say, I think it's time for us to consider what those options are now before we get into the middle of a downturn.
Mm. So as an economist, where do you think potentially some good spending would be?
Well, look, there's two parts to where the spending I think should go. And the first one is, you know, we do need more infrastructure spending. We need that to ensure we have productivity growth in New Zealand. We need to make sure that we can actually move people and move freight around the country. We need it to make sure we have good quality schools and hospitals for people to access. So there's an infrastructure element. There's also an element of government spending, and so getting more services into hospital, hiring more mental health practitioners and all those sorts of areas. But all of those things take time. You can't build a hospital in a day, and you can't train up a mental health professional in a day. So those two areas are very much medium-term thinking, and they'll take a few years to get online. But in the short term, because the government has the surplus, I think it is worthwhile the government considers something like a tax rebate. They could give $790 back to every person in New Zealand, and that would see more spending happening in the economy, and that would help our consumer spending and our private consumption hold up.
Mm. Why do you think private consumption is so important right now?
Look, private consumption makes up 60% of our entire economic picture, so it is a critical bit. And we know that if we get household spending, then they still actually provide more money back to the government through indirect taxes. So it's an area that's quite important. The other reason that it's so important at the moment is because households can spend a lot quicker. Like I said, government takes a while to get its plans and projects on board, but getting cash back into households' pockets means they can spend it. They can spend it at the supermarket, they can go and buy new utilities and new items, and it's a much quicker and a much more temporary fix to the economy as we come into this slower patch of growth.
Mm. And some have pointed to a tax cut entirely. You don't particularly agree with that. Can you explain why?
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of a tax cut idea at the moment because I think there are better ways to try and stimulate the economy. The issue with a tax cut at the moment is that that's a permanent fix. We won't change tax rates for another 10 years if we put in a tax cut now. The economy is slowing at the moment. It's not always going to be slowing. So I'd much rather we have a nice, timely, targeted and temporary addition to the economy through something like a tax rebate. We need to energise the economy quickly. We don't want to build that in over time because we know that the government has committed to some large spending over the next few years in terms of the services, in terms of the infrastructure it wants to build. So it needs a tax base for that, but it could provide a one-off hit to the economy right now through a rebate.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.